I call this Hazeh. I find myself tonight in an interesting position. There's emotions after such a Shabbos are many. The thoughts percolating through my mind that I want to express. Yet Sandy told me that my limit was a hard 5 minutes. So I'm brought back to a conversation I had with Sabo, with Rabbi Kalkovitz, at the beginning of my tenure here at the White School. And we were discussing, I was sitting at his table, and I looked at that opportunity as I continued to look at those opportunities as a gold mine, a child in a candy store, with all the wisdom sitting before me. So I began to ask him about the timing of the drasha, a topic I'm sure many of you wish that you had your input at the time. And I said, Saba, the typical drasha, ideal, how long should it be? Without missing a beat, he said, it's very hard to develop anything meaningful in less than 17 minutes. So I said, Saba, but sometimes they say you only have 5. And you won't believe what he responded. He said, Mati, do you see a clock in the White School? And as I stand before you tonight, those words, whether you like it or not, are ringing in my ears. And the truth is, the reason that I have so much to express, so much personal hakaras hatov, is because my relationship with Rav Kalkovitz has evolved over the years. I grew up as part of the broader Jewish community, not here in Long Island or even in New York. I grew up in Jersey, where Rav Kalkovitz was a household name, but we knew him from afar. We admired him. We knew he was the rabbi's rabbi. And then as I grew older, I was fortunate enough to enter the family. And I began to see him as a saba, as a grandfather, as a great-grandfather who has genuine interest in every detail of the lives of his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And then, just over a year ago, I was fortunate to join this family. I was fortunate to become, like so many of you, a Talmud. A Talmud who is Mish'abed the Ofer Rabbi, who uses every opportunity to learn from him, to try to emulate him. So often, I've had the opportunity to escort him to different events, either to or Rahman to Shiva. And I watch him, how he comforts, how he consoles, his sympathy. And at the end of each of those visits, he turns to me and he says, Masi, thank you. I know you could have done this quicker on your own. And he knows just as well as I do that I have received more during the trip than I have given. So I feel like a Talmud, someone who has learned so much. In fact, I was thinking a few moments ago, certain memories going through my mind. I remember my journey to the White School as I began the process of trying to earn this position. And I had come for the first prava, and there was going to be a subsequent prava, and I thought it had gone fairly well. But the next morning I get a call from Saba. And he says, Mati, I'd like you to come over to the house. If you thought being called to the principal was bad. So I come over, and he sits me down in the living room,
So, how do you think it went? And I said, honestly, until you called me, I thought it went well. And I could see that he was concerned, very gently, with the love of a grandfather. I could see he was concerned that perhaps the nervousness, my nerves were showing through on the Shabbos, and perhaps I wasn't as friendly or comfortable with the seaboard. And he gently tells me, so what do you think we could do about this? So I said, try harder. He said, we could start with smiling more. So I came back to my wife, I said, when a litvak tells you you have to smile more, you know something is wrong. But honestly, I can tell you that from the moment I got here, from the moment we moved here, he has comforted me, he has guided me. I have learned so much from him, and so often it's not from anything verbal, but just from watching the way he conducts himself. So there's a lot to discuss tonight. But tonight's not about me. Tonight's not about my family. Tonight's about a Rav, a leader, a manu. Tonight's about a relationship between a tzibur, a kehila, and a Rav who has molded and fashioned them, who has influenced them on the greatest level. And it's a relationship which I was having a hard time putting into words. How profound and deep it is. So many years, so many decades. Until this Sunday, this past Sunday. When I was at a simcha with Rav Talkovich, the simcha which he graced the family with some divrei bracha. And I was escorting him out of the simcha, and a longtime member came over to him, and you could tell she was still reveling, basking in the glory of hearing Rabbi Kalkovitz again. And with a tear in her eye, she turns to Rabbi Kalkovitz and she says, Rabbi, it's a different world. And with a twinkle in his eye, that signature smile, he turns to her and he says, yes, it's a different world. Different, but the same. And I realized at that moment that it wasn't a turn of phrase for him. He wasn't trying to be cliche, but this was the mantra of his life, of his career. Different, but the same. Because the gratitude that we have to Rav Talkovich should go well beyond this particular shul and even this particular neighborhood. Because we know that one of the most common, the most beloved concepts, a concept, a notion which he holds so dear to his heart, it permeates through so many of his Divrei Torah, is that notion of Mesorah, of tradition, of legacy. How important it is for every member in Klal Yisrael, every generation of Klal Yisrael, to realize that they are not living in a vacuum. There were generations before them and there will be generations after them. Every member of Klal Yisrael is merely a link in a much greater chain. But I realized at that moment that some links are more essential than others. Some links are more integral than others. For a part of it came a Rav at a time which Klal Yisrael was very vulnerable. It was a time where we needed to make the transition. The quintessential Rav of the previous generation was a Talmud Chacham hailing from Europe. Was a Talmud Chacham who had learned like his father in Slavonka, in Lomja, in Balazs. And they were the Rabbanim in America. But that wasn't going to last too long. The new modern American Jew was not going to be able to relate to such a rabbi. So he had to make the transition. And the leaders of the next generation had to rise to the occasion, and they had to make a transition from the previous, the European rabbanim, to the next generation. But that transition had to be careful. That transition had to be seamless. It had to be people that realized that what was old, the legacy that was so rich, we need to continue. It was a world now that was different, but the same. Different, but the same. And to me, that is the accomplishment we're celebrating here tonight. That the same person, to me, who's a window into a world that was, a world with such a rich legacy, a world of litha, of bludgeon, of hell, that same person who showed me what it meant to be a litha somehow fused that with the loving American grandfather. The loving American grandfather. Great-grandfather. That's what I think about every time I drive down Caffrey Avenue. And my little Debbie turns to me and says, Saba, Saba, recognizing the house. Different world, but the same. It was a world that he managed to repackage so that it was palatable to the new American Jew. And for that, Saba, we in the White Shul, we in Farakul, we in America throughout the country are forever grateful. One of the things I had on my list of things to do in my life was to be able to introduce Dr. David Peltovich. And the reason is because I learned a lot from Dr. Peltovich as he was teaching much of the psychology classes that we took when we were in Tunisia. And he would tell us things that would happen and we didn't believe in. And now when we're in the field, we do believe him. But he once told us a story because we know that he's looked at as a resource for the world over, Jewish, non-Jewish. Every sector of the world, of the country, looked at him, towards him, for his knowledge. And he told a story once how he was invited to speak at a Hasidic function. And they introduced him, and they say, we're so thankful that Dr. Peltovich came. One of the Chassidei Umos HaOlam. So as I saw him tonight, I expressed my appreciation, the sensitivity to wear a yarmulke. We appreciate that. But the real greatness of Dr. Peltovich, I believe, lies in the fact that after all his accomplishments, after all that he has given the Jewish community, the humility that he has maintained, Mokom Shatamote Dumoto Shom Atamote Amdisanusa. A person who can relate to every human being. Every person can teach anyone who's looking to learn. It's a great cover for us. You don't have to say excuse me, I got us tonight.